are listening to the Minder Podcast.
Welcome to episode 16 of the Minder podcast in association with Minder.org. I am your host, Paul Stenning. In this show, we feature part two of an interview with Brian Croucher, who played Big John in Monday Night Fever from the very first Minder series. Far from being a bit part actor, Brian has appeared in 124 film or television productions and played a huge variety of parts. I found Brian to be a very funny, thoughtful, and insightful interviewee, and he gave me a lot of time. In fact, the two interviews are a shortened version of our talk, where we also went into some more personal information and had a chat that stopped being an interview of any sort for quite a while. Brian was good for a number of topics. In the show, we find out the reason for Brian's hazy memory when it comes to his Minder episode, and there are plenty of links to Minder thanks to Brian's other work. We speak of a great variety of actors, including Peter Blake, Johnny Shannon, Alfred Burke, Stephen Greif, Stanley Meadows, Michael Medwin, not to mention Honor Blackman, and if you want to hear romantic advice from Peter Childs, aka DC Rycott, this is the show for you. It's inevitable then that we cover the XYY man, and we mustn't forget some of Brian's current work. Also covered is a period where Brian drove a taxi, which is a funny link to the Alfred Burke episode, Come in T64, Your Time is Ticking Away, where he and Arthur are partners at Candy Caps. There are some great stories here, including some choice language from David Niven and Brian himself. Who would have thought that Brian Croucher would direct a seance? So, Houston, we still have a problem. Over to Brian Croucher.
I mean, one day when I was working with David Niven, there were a couple of instances, actually. One day we were in the pub and he played Genghis Khan in a film called Nightingale Sang in Berkeley Square. Mm-hmm. And he was called Genghis, and he had this this gang. And I was Gregory Peck, because I did fraudulent checks. A Gregory is a Czech, right? Yeah. So when he was introduced to me, and they went along the line, Charlie Wheeler, the wheels, he was the driver, and all sorts. Billy Peeler, he did the alarms. And he came to me and said, and the director said, and this is Gregory Peck. And he went, and if this is Gregory Peck, I'm Anthony Quinn. But another time, he came in, we were in the pub, the whole gang, and it was all set around a pool table. And he came in, he said, oh, hello, chaps, blah, blah, blah. He was a real, real gentleman. But I read some of his books with Errol Flynn, and he was a little bit more than a gentleman. But and he came, he said, oh, he said, it's Paul, is it? I've got this scene in the... I don't know how to play pool. And he went, oh, is this how you do it? And he went, bosh! And the ball went. I mean, he knew what he was doing. All right. It was brilliant. And then another time, it was the court scene at the end of the film where everybody's getting weighed off, 5 years, 6 years. And it came to Genghis, and he got 25 years or something. But it was at Ealing Town Hall. They used the big Crown Court. They used Ealing Town Hall. So we were all there about 7:30, 8 o'clock, having a cup of tea before we all went in there. And the car pulls up and David got out. Oh, I call him David. He got out and he said, morning, chaps. They got him his cup of tea. And he said, He said, "You know what, chaps?" It was a Monday morning. He said, "You know what, chaps?" He said, I spent the weekend at home. I flew home to Nice. I've got a little, I don't know if you know, but I've got a little house just in the mountains above Nice. And with my wife, Yordis, I had the weekend. And I think it was a wonderful weekend. I had no cow to lunch because he lives over there with us and he's a neighbour. And we had a good Sunday. And then I woke up this morning at 6:30, drove to the airport, got the Air France first flight out. I was sitting there with Yordis and we had half a bottle of shampoo each. We were sitting there drinking and I thought to myself, why the fuck am I going to Ealing Town Hall? Brilliant story. I love it. I'll never forget it.
Oh, dear. So he was fairly similar to his persona on screen, but just a bit more.
He was a great chap. You know, you're lucky as an actor. If you can do it, it's a great, great job because you lead such an interesting life. Everybody, like you're interested in what I've been doing over the years for your podcast and your books and your whatever. But everybody, they're interested in where you've been, what you've done, who you met, blah, blah, blah. And you do. You go to all sorts of places and you film with all sorts of people. And it's a great life if you can. Somebody said, "Oh, I couldn't do your job." Well, what do you mean? He said, "Well, I couldn't do. You wouldn't know when you're getting your money and all that." I said, "Well, it's all right." I said, "If you can deal with rejection, then it's not a bad job. Because come 6 o'clock, if your agent hasn't called you, you know, you've been rejected that day, not because you're not talented. It's just they didn't want a 6'2" transvestite that day."
Are you bothered these days about doing more, or is it? Do you still? I saw you were filming something. Am I right? You're filming.
Pardon?
Am I right? You're filming something now. I saw. I can't.
I'm halfway. I've got a. The story's about a young guy. I play his father's old friend. And I run this band. It's called All Roads Lead to Home. Well, we shot some of it last year, but the pandemic got in the way, and the director didn't, because the last part of the film, I was in the front part, and then the last part, it's a big gig, and the boy hero comes and does the warm up for this big concert, and the director didn't want to get a load of people in a hall. Have to pay them, blah blah blah. So he's waited until now, till the pandemic is over slightly, and then he'll commit himself to make a date in. I think June we're going to do that.
Oi, what's your game?
I need to talk to you,
John. John.
Never mind, John. I've come here to help you. Now be quiet and listen. You had Arthur Daly over, all right? Okay, good luck to you. The only problem is, Arthur is a bit tight with his money.
If you've come here to threaten me...
Just shut up and listen, will you? Have you ever heard of Vic Piner? No, well, Muscles here must have, haven't you?
Yeah.
He's a nutter. Mad Vic. Now, if he gets hold of you, you'll need more than that St. Christopher to get you home.
He's right, Chris.
What's he going to do then?
Well, what he wants to do is come in here, take the money, and then give you a good hiding just for the fun of it.
And what's your angle?
Oh, you're one of those, are you? Everyone has to have an angle. Well, mine's quite simple. Arthur Daly is an old mate of mine, and I can't afford the petrol to go and see him if they lock him up. Secondly, I don't see why you should get your legs broken just for being too greedy.
I'm telling you now what I'm doing now. You did ask. No, at the weekend. Weekend, I'm going up to a Doctor Who convention because I played a character called Borg in one of the Doctor Who episodes some years back. But it's also one of the most favoured ones, one of the most famous ones. So I'm going up to Bedford, Milton Keynes, Bedford, to do that over the weekend. And then after that, there's an audio company called The Big Finish. Do you know The Big Finish?
No.
No. Well, what they do, what they started doing, was alternative stories of Doctor Who and Blake Seven, where I played Travis. And they've expanded a great deal now. They do a lot of audio stuff. It's a big, you should research it.
Mm.
Have a look at what they do. In May, there's a guy's written, I did one called The Clone Masters, where Travis gets cloned and he uses the clone for his nefarious. But this guy said it went very well. He's written another one and they're going to do that in May. So we're going to do an audio in May. So there's bits and pieces. And in fact, when I finish you with you this morning, it gets less and less, Paul. It's unbelievable. Just after Christmas, after I did the pantomime down here at Folkestone, I got a self-tape to do for Ted Lasso. And he was a doorman, actually. He was a doorman in a football stadium. And he had two lines. All right, Bruce, heard about you and Kelly. That was two lines. Now, this one's got one line, this self-tape. It's going backwards. So my agent said, could you do this one line in this American Netflix series? So it was worth a few, Bob, but it's, yeah. It's a disgrace. You should be ashamed. That's all it is.
That's worth it.
I've got to do that two or three ways and send it off and hopefully. I mean, if you can't get a job with two lines or one line, the game's up, really, isn't
it? What you just reminded me with you were in that Tori Amos video, and obviously because it's music, you weren't saying a lot, but it was there was a little story going on, and you were so you had to play something again without speaking. But what was that like? That's something a bit different.
You know, nowadays, because I search a little bit for work for myself, there's a site called Mandy, and I also like to work with young people. I like to work on shorts, and if something comes up that I like, I'll apply for it, and then if they send me the script, if they want me and I like the script, I'll do it. And you know, it was, I forget where we shot it, but it couldn't have been too far away. I thought for £100, you know, they pay your expenses, £100 for the day. It might be a day out my age. And so they said, yeah, come along and play this character. And I met Tori Amos. I didn't know too much about her. She was a nice enough woman. Yeah. I like to do as many varied things as possible. I think the strangest thing I did once was directing a séance. One of these I applied for the. She wanted a director. This woman, you know, she said, "I'm getting that. There's Paul. Paul wants to contact. No, is there a Paul? Is there a Paul in the audience? Paul, yes. No, it's yeah." Is your grandfather's name William? George? Yeah, did you know your grandfather? No, it can't be you, Paul. And it was at Chatham, and I had to do the lights for her and all of that and give her a bit of advice as to, and that was one of the weirdest jobs because I direct as well. You may gather that from my opinions.
Just, and I've kept you now, but...
No, you haven't. I've got lots to talk about any time because I've enjoyed my life as an actor And I've done many things and met many people. So, and there's many funny stories and straight stories, opinions, etc.
So, well, maybe we should do one again in the future. But I'll send you the episode that you were in, just so you can A, see it again, and B, if there's anything that you do remember from it. But you mentioned a band in the thing. Now, there was a band in the episode. I don't know if Peter Blake was in it. I don't know if that jogs anything.
Was he now, wasn't he? Peter Blake was in
it. He was, yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. There was this drummer from who ended up being in Status Quo was in this band, Flint, in the disco club that you were in. You don't remember Flint.
Do you know what? That might have been my drinking for England years. No. I think I don't remember it because it wasn't... When I looked at the cast list, I thought, blimey, they were all in it. So they had to have a lot of screen time. I didn't have a lot of screen time, did I, Paul?
Not really. Maybe... You're quite a major character in it, but maybe 2-3 minutes, four times, something like that.
Yeah, you see, it wasn't something... I think it was one-dimensional, wasn't it? I mean, he just had to be a bit tough on the door.
Yeah, pretty much.
So it didn't have highs and lows and humour and tragedy, and it was just... I mean, most doormen, they just stand there until they have to. You know, they are a device, aren't they? You don't, as it were, fuck about with a doorman. When I moved down here to Canterbury, I used to teach in London, and then I moved to Canterbury, and I didn't want to teach anymore because it was meaning going back to London Waterloo and at Morley College. So I drove a taxi. I had my own taxi. And the club in Canterbury, it was very funny. It was either, very rarely it was a policeman, but it was usually a doorman. And you get to the front of the rank and all of a sudden, you know, 10 past one, the door would open and the doorman would chuck this drunk in and say, take him home to Dover, you know. Whereabouts in Dover? I don't know, but take him away from here. Where are you going? Where are you going to Dover? I'm going to Dover. I'm going to Dover. I'm going home. Where do you live? Where do you live in Dover, pal? Huh? Where are we going? No, I want to go to Margate. All that went on. But you were at the mercy of... If you got to the, and they were chucking a drunk out, they don't take him away. And it's like their job had been done.
Did you tend to drive and just hope that they recognised where they were going at some point?
Yeah, I could tell you a story about that. We got home to Dover. I used that because it was an example. And I said, I managed to find where he lived. And then I said, well, that'll be 40-odd quid or something. And he said, oh, I ain't got the money. I went, oh, right, you're not paying me, I see. So his wife came out and I said, look, it's 40 quid he owes me. I brought him home to you. She said, well, 40 quid? What? I said, well, it's gone up to 45 now and moving towards 50. She said, oh, that's next week's rent. Don't take it. I said, listen, love, give me the money. And she came down and gave me the money. Yes. I mean, he was laying on the floor all the way to his phone falling out. Oh. I mean, that's a sort of taxi driver. They're like actors. Taxi drivers are like actors. They moan when they're working and they moan when they're not working.
Yeah, but you're not the annoying taxi driver that's just talking one-sidedly and not actually listening.
No, well, I do listen, but you have to put people straight. And they used to park up at the station and they get in and go, oh, God, I had a terrible journey. And it's raining again. I said, what are you complaining about? It's raining again. Sunshine, rain, we have to have it. It's a good day, you're alive. What the bloody, stop it.
So that's your philosophy generally. Would you say you're quite upbeat and you don't sort of let things bring you down?
I'm a pretty positive person. You know, we've all got our philosophy of life, and it's good to have a... Although these days, it does worry me, the state of the world, anxiety. That's why the other day I thought, because I'm not working, I've got nothing to think about, but Brexit, pandemic, Ukraine, we're going to hell in a handcart. And it's not... It leaves you a little bit anxious, especially I've got kids and I've got grandchildren. It's peace and love. That's what we all had in the 60s. Don't see why. What people, you just need something to eat and roof over your head, and you don't need much more than that. Change your clothes. But of course, it's all about something else, which I've never quite understood. But my wife always explains to me it's about land, it's about property, it's about power. Who's got the money? They make the decisions.
Yeah.
You try to duck a little bit.
Can I just cast your mind back? You mentioned Honor Blackman before, and then...
Hello, darling. I'm Honor Blackman.
I don't know whether you didn't want to... Because she was amazing, so...
She, in the upper hand, she kept taking the piss out of me. I don't know why. I had this theory that she fancied me, but, you know, that's my ego. So, Honor Blackman, yeah. She was always a bit sarky. I think he was trying to put me off, but it can be a bit disorientating, but there she was in her dotage. She still had a nice pair of breasts and a nice figure. Even at sort of 60 or so, you know.
Yeah, she looked
good.
She's
still an attractive woman.
Yeah. Can I just finish with just thinking of, because she was also in, she was in Minder on the Orient Express. So probably so many actors you've been with were in Minder. I did make a note of a few that you've been in programmes with. We mentioned most of the programmes or the films. I was just wondering if you remember these people in any way. Michael Medwin.
Michael Medwin, he produced Oh Lucky Man. Oh Lucky Man, yeah. You mentioned Oh Lucky Man, Warren Clark.
Yeah.
There was a scene in Oh Lucky Man with Bill, with Sir Ralph Richardson and what's his name? It was Oh Lucky Man.
Malcolm McDowell.
Malcolm McDowell, yeah. And who was the guy in Last of the Summer Wine?
Bill Owen.
Bill Owen, yeah. Bill Owen and Peter Childs. Peter Childs and I were sort of detective constables. And we go in and we confront Ralph Richardson about some gold. And Bill Owen's asking him all these questions. And dear Ralph Richardson had a bit of a movement, one, you know, that nervous movement of nodding the head. in his old age. And it got to the final question. He said, so something like, do you know about this shipment of gold, sir, whatever your name was? And then, and Ralph Richards, he waited a bit and his head would shake a bit. And Malcolm McDowell said to him, well, is it yes or is it no? Because he was no, yes. Yeah. No, Michael Medwin, I don't think I was in anything. I might have been in something other than Minder with him, because he was a nice enough guy, I believe. Yeah.
Who you else mentioned was it? Peter Childs there as well. That's
dear Peter Childs.
What was he like?
That was a very sad story. He had cancer and he carried on working. He never told a soul, and then died. But he used to like a cigarette and a drink, and he loved gambling. He liked horse racing, Peter. And in those days, you know, there was the odd affair here and there. And he said, Croucher, he said, for Christ's sake, like, okay, sleep with them, but don't fucking fall in love. That was his advice. Peter, yeah, he was a character. Yeah, yeah. Got any other names?
Yes, Stanley Meadows.
Stanley Meadows. Now, I did something with him afterwards, and I can't remember what it was. But he was a London boy. I forget what I was in other than, well, I wasn't in that episode of Minder.
No, well, it's, you know, yeah. Out, I think he was in two episodes, Stanley Meadows.
Oh, was he? Maybe that's where I met him. Yeah. Yeah. Is he still with us, Stanley? Is he gone?
No, he is, yeah. As is Johnny Shannon, who's, I think...
Yeah, Johnny, yeah.
What was he like?
We were in the XYY Man together, and we piled up... and we were shooting in Manchester, and we decided we had to get digs up there because we were rehearsing in London and shooting up there, and we got digs with this funny, you know, the show business ladies, landladies, and she was really weird, and we used to get out of there as quickly as possible. But dear Johnny. Oh, he's still around. Great.
Yeah, he's 90, I think, or something.
Is he?
Yeah.
Here's the sail set.
Chinese team. Hard dealers, mind you. Christ, they're hard.
But reliable.
Prefer the Greeks myself, Major.
Stick to the Chinese, Ryson. Great men. Traditionalists. Chinese and Koreans, the Scots and Irish of the Orient. Best bandits in the world. Without fear or scruple. And the worst prison camps known to man. If you were a naughty boy with Johnny Jap, he handed you over to the Koreans. Ah, I want to kill Bulman.
You what?
I don't like him.
His own mother doesn't like him, but he'd be a dangerous man to chop.
He's a dangerous man to have around, and he knows too much.
He knows nothing. Bulman's a tea leafer, too thick. Kids in sweet shops, that's his collar.
He's unscrupulous and overbearing.
Granted, but let's leave it till after the job. I think that's favourite, Major.
Perhaps you're right. I think I'll report him to the Commissioner.
That's right, Major. Have him on the carpet. Now, it's Scott I'm worried about. He's a silly bastard, but he's clever. And he's really jumping over Ozzie Jenkins.
I'm handling Spider Scott.
I'm always happy to see you, Spider. Look, drop in, fall out of the sky, drink my wine and shoot my pigeons, you're welcome, but don't ask me questions.
Well, what's so big, eh? Tell me.
Anything is big with questions. I have to remember, and memory is work, and that's forbidden to me.
is me, Charlie. Spider. The one that used to climb in through the window with your bacon sandwiches while you were opening the safe. Remember?
Major, over forgive me for that.
Anything that's from about you is a spiel you're giving me. Now, come on, I'm not missing.
You make me wish I'd never known you, Spider. Look, I'm settled down. I'm a member of Echo. Laidlaw introduces me to these rich society punters who buy my paintings. But how in hell that qualifies him as being the most dangerous man in England? Well, or even connects him with old Ozzy's debt is something I can't answer, son. So come out of my nose and leave it alone.
Here, is the girl over here?
Has he been out yet today?
No, not yet.
Oh, didn't I fit, darling?
Far too big, Charlie. I'll keep my jeans on, but I'll borrow the crop.
Yeah, well, they belong to my sister's kid. And she goes out with this Greek geezer who thinks they're nothing but catapis. I mean, what do you expect? She has got a bottle like the Curtles. Anyway, that's life. He likes it.
Thanks, anyway.
What's all that?
She said no more cuddles for you unless you go horse riding with her. Anyway, I've got a wool jumper out there. Might break your neck.
Not today, Charlie, no.
Come on, then. You're going.
No, I want to talk to Charlie.
Oh, all right, then.
Glyn Houston.
No.
No?
Nothing.
Don Henderson, obviously, in...
Yeah, Don, yeah.
XYY, man.
Don with the gloves, yeah. Don. Yeah, we used to... Dennis Blanche, Don Henderson. The episode, I think I was in a two or three episode story. I remember. And Stephen Yardley, Don, Dennis, and they used to come round with the per diems on a Monday or something. They used to call it Brown Envelope Day, or we used to call it the Guinness money, because most of us drank Guinness in those days. So we'd get that on a Monday, and it'll be gone by Tuesday or Wednesday, because we'll be up the bar at Granada drinking Guinness, yeah. But he was a bit of a character, yeah, ex-policeman. Him and Dennis and Stephen, yeah, those were the days.
You mentioned, I've got two more actually, just to mention that one of the very first things, I don't know if it was the first thing he did, but it was in the 60s, an episode of Public Eye. So Alfred Burke was in that with you, and he later did a minder as well. Don't know if you recall that.
Alfred, yeah. Well, I can't remember the scenes, if I did scenes with Alfred, did I? I don't know if you...
I can't remember either, because I've not...
Anyway, but I do remember something else about Alfred. After that, for the BBC, we did four parts, or I don't know how many parts, of Treasure Island for the BBC. Michael Bryant directed it. And we all went to Corsica to film on this boat. Before we went to Plymouth, they used Plymouth and the river there near Plymouth for the island scenes. And so we're on the boat, and one of the first days of filming, the big hamper arrived with all sorts of cutlasses and belts and things like that. And of course, everybody went, oh, I'll have that one, I'll do that, I'll get that, and blah, blah, blah. And then Alfred went, and where's my fucking belt? He ordered this belt to strap his one leg up, you know, because Long John was only one day. And... So in the end, he had to put it on like an orange box behind him, and it had to be hidden. And then one day we were doing, and there was this Welsh actor. I don't know if you've ever come across him, because he had these teeth. His name was Telfrid Thomas, and he was one of the crew members. And he was that we're doing this scene, and Alfred knew, because he had this belt made especially to go round and hold the leg up. And he went, that's my fucking belt, himself. You know, and he's been on this box for days, trying to hold his leg. And so he got the belt. And then the other little story about Telford, within the story and the series, they could all go ashore. The whole I played Hillman Hunter. I played Hunter, who was Thorley Waters. He played Squire Trelawney. I was his man, so I didn't go ashore. But we were all on the boat. And the Long John said, "You can go ashore." And they were climbing down the rigging, and all of a sudden, Telford had this like pistol. He got a new belt now, but a pistol down it. And all of a sudden, he's climbed down the rigging. Boop, 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 boop. And as Telford went, "Oh my God, what have I done now?" He was always getting into trouble, always doing things a little bit wrong. Yeah. Yeah, Thorley Waters. I used to take him to all the wrestlers. So I've got this wrestler I found for you. So I was like, "Oh, really? Let's go."
So he was a bit like that in real life then?
Yeah, he was. He didn't change that much, Thorley. He reminded me a little bit more of Robert Morley. Those sort of rather plump guys who just...
Yeah.
But Alfred Burke, yeah. I can't remember. But I remember doing, and he was one of many actors who've got twins. Stephen Greif, he's got twins. Alfred Burke's got twins. There's a few other actors who have got twins. Alfred Burke, was there another one?
No, I think that's probably there. Probably are plenty. You have. Need to do a second list. I'm sure you've been in. I mean, Stephen Greif, you just mentioned, he was in one as well. So he's played like the someone that's not very honest and likable.
Oh, either a fraudster or a brass.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you so much, Brian, for all your time.
No, it's, you know, who knows? Somebody might see it and go, "He's still alive." Oh, let him. We need him to come and play grandpa for us. I don't know.
Absolutely. I really appreciate it.
But look, if there's anything, feel free to contact me anytime. I'm quite willing to talk about almost anything.
Oh, you may regret saying that, but thank you.
If you say, "No, your sex life, Brian," I just...
There's that that face that you started off with. That was the one I was scared of before we started, but you're not like that really, are you?
Until some people have crossed me in my life and they get zilch.
Mm.
Until somebody does something to me on my own and I don't like it.
I actually wrote that down to say earlier on that, you know, you seem like a really nice guy until someone crosses you. That's what I was going to actually mention.
Oh, right, yeah.
I guess it is true.
Yeah, no. Well, it's nice to meet good people along the way, because it's always a problem if you meet a bad person. You don't quite know what's going to happen, do you? And,
yeah.
You know, if we met for a drink, I'd tell you a few stories and you'd remind me of them, we'd have a laugh. But if you were a dodgy person, you just think, which way is it going to go?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you go in a pub and somebody comes up and starts talking, you think, "I don't want to talk to you," and you move away.
Yeah.
And there's some people, you go, I'd love to have a few drinks with him in the pub and have a chat, or her, you know. The case may be.
Definitely.
But we, as you grow older, you don't want shit. Really. It's not wanted. You know, my wife always said it must have been a very strange experience in the 60s, coming from the East End of London, working class boy. Oh, okay, I went to a grammar school, Hackney Downs Grammar School, same school that Harold Pinter went to. But ending up finding yourself in a drama school with that. I mean, Celia Gore Booth, who was in my year, her father was head of the Foreign Office. And we used to go around to their house in Cheyne Walk. He was Sir Paul Gore Booth. You know, I came out of Hackney and there I am having drinks with Sir Paul Gore Booth, head of the Foreign Office. It really, and as Christina said, it must have been very strange. And then you find yourself, because I started off on a stage management course, which I enjoyed. And then somebody suggested I went onto the drama course. And but it was very, very strange at that point. So she said you should write a four-part series about a working class boy. I mean, Michael Caine and Terence Stamp did it before me, but there weren't too many of us. They were all like middle and upper class, had been to Oxford or hyphenated names that were there. Because you didn't think you did training, or you always thought you had to have. I mean, I left grammar school because I was a bit of a rebel. I left at the age of 15 at Easter, this time of the year. And I never took O levels or A levels. So I had no qualifications. And I always thought you had to have a qualification to go to art school, drama school, university. But you just needed the talent. And thank God I had a bit of talent.
I hope you enjoyed the very funny and direct Mr. Croucher, I certainly did. Come back in a few weeks for an interview with yet another British acting legend. Thank you to everyone who has written in recently. There are a few emails to get to, and next time I'll cover some of them. If you want to write to the show, the email is winchesterclub@minderpodcast.co.uk. For anyone just discovering the show, and I think there are quite a few based on the messages I've had, all Minder Podcast shows have been archived if there are any you have missed so far. Head over to minderpodcast.co.uk for that. Why not also check out the Minder fan site, minder.org, truly an incredible record of all things Minder. That's minder.org. Thanks for listening.